Previously on Podcast Without Pretense.
That's a great question. What do you think, Eric?
That was the most astute point Eric has ever made on this show. We should write this down for the ages now.
Hi, I'm Jonathan Strickland.
I'm Ayaz Akhtar.
And Eric's not with us tonight, but last episode he was here. It was amazing. He was communicating almost exclusively through a beautiful language that he only speaks through manipulating his own body in a way that is both informative and erotic. But he's not here tonight, so it's just me and Ayaz.
Yeah, so if you didn't watch the last episode, you might be like, and you were listening to the audio section, it just wasn't good. We weren't doing it. We would not actually interpret exactly what he was doing because we understood by visual only.
It's one of those things where through the physical medium, and you may not know this, but Eric is incredibly physical. The last time I saw him, he was right behind me in order to get a beer and was just constantly pressed right up against my back. Anyway, it turns out that these physical expressions can have multiple layered meanings, which makes it almost impossible to translate into the vocal word.
That is true. So again, watch that very special episode. It's called Eric is Wordless. It's available at gfqnetwork.com. Search for it. See if something comes up.
If it doesn't, you need to ask yourself some deep and possibly troubling questions.
Yes, and also you can tweet us at PWP Show to let us know that you could not find the episode.
We sometimes get upwards of 2 to 3 tweets per quarter.
Yeah, so if we get one, we're way ahead.
It's usually us. It's one
That's
of us.
True. That's true. And Eric's interpretive gifts that we see every now and then.
Right. You may not know this, but that animated gif of Spider-Man doing the weird dance, that's Eric. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's true. It's based on him.
They rotoscoped it, and it's him. Hey, Ayaz, what's new with you?
Well, very little. Well, it's February now. We haven't done an episode in like weeks. But
couple.
We had to come back. Yeah, that's weeks, right? That's a couple.
Yep.
So that's
not as long a hiatus as we often will take. But yes, it has been a couple weeks.
The key about the show, if you guys have never watched the show before, never listened to it, the thing is, the more episodes we do, the less people watch. So we're gunning. It's kind of what's that word, like asymptote? Is that the one where you never hit zero?
We're taking it to the limit one more time.
Taking it to the limit.
It's a terrible calculus joke.
There's a song in that too.
Exactly. I like to think, you know how with most podcasts, people will discover a show, they'll listen to an episode, and then they'll go and they'll download a whole bunch of the back catalog. I like to think that people discover our show and somehow end up erasing a view or listen or download from a previous listener in our past shows. So we're actually losing overall downloads over time.
That's the key of this show, and one day it'll just be us talking to each other, and we won't even have this like live streamed anymore. It'll just be just us talking to microphones that aren't even connected to anything. It's gonna be sad.
Maybe we'll do something where we get all the way to zero listens, and then we'll go roll it back one. It's kind of like the opposite of when you turn a pinball machine's high score, you know, when you get all zeros and then it starts over at one. We'll be starting at zero and going up to whatever the largest number for podcast downloads happens to be right now, and maybe we'll just skyrocket to the top.
Yeah, so in theory, everybody who doesn't listen to the show or watch the show have something in common, and then that'll draw them together to watch the show. Got it.
Yeah.
So what's new with you?
You know, I went to Houston and got to visit NASA. That was cool. That was a lot of fun. It was part of a NASA social event, and I really had a good time out there. So I'm very thankful that I had the opportunity to do that. That was kind of cool. And then I watched my home team lose in the Super Bowl. That was less cool. I wish it had gone a different way, but those are the breaks. I mean, you gotta just say it for what it was. The Patriots outplayed the Falcons in the second half at every turn. That's That's exactly what happened. Like, I wish I could point my finger at some other reason and say that's to blame, but that I think really it's just that we got outplayed. And apart from that, just rehearsals. I'm doing another season with the Georgia Renaissance Festival, playing a supporting character in the main storyline and a strolling street performing character. And so I'm having to do rehearsals for combat, although none of the fights that I'm in have been written yet. So I'm mostly just blocking out where I have to be, but I don't have a fight to actually, you know, practice yet. So
yeah, that's going to be hard to practice a fight without an opponent. And I might be looking at the wrong camera every now and then because it's right there. So what was I thinking about? The Super Bowl, you were talking about that. That was a show. I didn't pay attention to a lot of it, and after a while, I just decided to turn it off because I'm like, this game is over. You know, when everyone else thought it was over. And then every now and then while I was watching a movie, I would ask Alexa, what's the score? And it would get closer and closer and closer until I think there was overtime, and I was like, oh, that's intriguing. Then I ask again what happened, and I go, the game is over. I'm like, oh, that's how I found out how the Super Bowl went, and then I watched highlights the next day because I didn't even bother to watch the game.
Yeah, I watched the whole thing. I was at a party with a bunch of folks, and for the first half, that party was a ton of fun. And for the second half, that party was just a painful slog. Like, you know, there was still a lot of hope early in the third quarter. Like, we were, you know, all we had to do was just hold them. And I kept on – the person next to me knew even less about football than I do, which is saying something. My knowledge of football is pretty limited. But I enjoy watching on the rare occasion when I bring myself to do it. And I really enjoy watching with a big group of people who are enthusiastic because that enthusiasm, you know, it rubs off. You get this kind of fun experience of having a group reaction. So she was asking me questions, and I was giving her the best answers I could. And there was one point where, you know, halftime had started. And we were at 28-3, and she says, so there's no way they can come back, right? I'm like, well, they just played half a game, and the Falcons scored 28 points in that half. And the Patriots scored 3 points. The same thing could happen in the second half, but flip-flopped. And essentially that did happen, except for the fact that we didn't score any points at all, and they scored another 25. So, but the point being that, you know, I was saying, you can't ever assume that the game is definitely going to go a specific way, because there's always the opportunity to turn things around. And even though I was saying it, I was really hoping that that was not going to come into play. So it was heartbreaking to watch exactly what I said could happen actually happen.
You weren't like, see, I told you that could happen, and it did.
Yeah. It was, I mean, you know, it is what it is. I hate that saying, but... Yeah, I'm not as sad about it now because there are way more things going on right now that are upsetting on a much grander scale than losing a football game. So, and also I'm hoping that our city will still be very proud of the team and not be like Debbie Downers about the whole thing. So Atlanta certainly has a long history of seeing various teams get really far only to fall short at the final game or, you know, in the final series or whatever. So it's something we've seen before. It is very frustrating, but, you know, I'm hoping that it doesn't sap people's enthusiasm for the team. But, yeah, apart from that and rehearsals and stuff, it's just been kind of normal everyday activities. Today was rough because my dog is sick and he's still sick, but, I'm hoping that by tomorrow morning he'll have perked up a little bit. We're giving him the medication. We took him to the vet and given him medication and everything, but he's very lethargic and mopey right now. So it's totally not like him, and that's rough. But other than that, things are okay.
I had to take my dog to the vet because it appeared she had an ear infection. I was pretty sure she had an ear infection. Take her to the vet. Ear infection. It's how her allergy manifests. Eventually, that's what happens. It's like pretty sure this, so it's going to be another like week of ear medication, which she knows what to do. She lays on her side. She hates it. Paintbrush the ear. It's been 10 years of this. So I called up the vet, and I was just like, hey, can I just get a prescription for this drug? And they're like, we've never prescribed that before. Are you sure? I'm like, could you do it anyway? They're like, no, you got to bring in the dog. I'm like, okay. So I go and I talk to the doctor. I'm like, you know, I didn't make up this medication, right? Like there's something called Otomax, right? this is for ear infections. Like, yeah. So you probably didn't come up with that on your own. So I'm pretty sure the dog was prescribed it, just not at the current vet. But she's fine, and her ear is getting cleared up. And she is lethargic, but she's 10 and a half. That's
yeah.
what she does now. She just kind of sits yeah. there, which is
whereas
fine.
I got a terrier who's 2 years old, so he tends to – he's usually super hyper, super high energy. And yesterday, that's exactly how he was. Like, yesterday, he was – jumping all over me. He was wanting to wrestle like 5 different times yesterday, and then he would take a nap and he would do it all over again. And then this morning it was totally different. He was much more slow to move around, and then he started throwing up, and that was a bad sign. So Becca took him into the vet, and we think that he probably got into something, ate something that was bad for him, and that's why he's having these reactions. But according to the blood work they did and the x-rays they did, there's nothing serious, or at least nothing urgent that's happening right now. So we're just supposed to keep an eye on him, see if he improves tomorrow. And if he doesn't, then we have to take him back. So, I am very calm about it right now, but I can trust me, I love my dog to an extent where I was like fretting over his health all day long. The only thing that kept me not just constantly texting my wife to find out what was happening was that I had to do videos and a live stream. So that kept me from pestering my wife all day. So I guess she's thankful for my workload.
Not to make too much light of this, but if you basically took everything you said minus taking minus Becca taking the dog to the vet, you could have been talking about Eric in Las Vegas. Like,
that's
it could
true.
Have been perfect.
I was pretty concerned. I was pretty concerned about Eric in Las Vegas, too.
Yeah, you were concerned about your dog with a W, yeah. though. Your dog,
yeah, my dog.
Your boy. Exactly.
So
we were afraid he got into something, which he could have. And then he was thrown up the next day, and he was wanting to wrestle you. This is true. The whole thing is true.
All these things are accurate. Also, you know what? Shannon Morse, very, very similar story, as it turns out. She didn't ever try to wrestle me, but I think she's punched me a few times.
That's the precursor.
Yeah. I got out of there before the wrestling started. I had to get up early the next day. Ayaz, I've got a question for you in your capacity as a tech guy.
Okay.
And this is a question that maybe other people are interested in. I'm gathering opinions. So I had this issue yesterday where I'm trying to lose weight. I've lost like 20 pounds since August, and I'm still trying to lose some more weight, and mostly I'm doing it by counting calories. I use my Fitness Pal because it's really easy for me to track meals that way, and also it connects with lots of other stuff, right? So you can use other things that are help tracking your activity, and that feeds directly into the app. Really handy. You don't have to keep on copying something from one app and pasting it into another. Mm-hmm. I like that. The problem I ran into was that yesterday I had my phone on me, and I used Google Fit on my phone to just kind of track my activity because it's accurate enough usually. But yesterday it was raining really hard in Atlanta, and a friend of mine offered to actually come pick me up at the office I work at and take me home. And I said, oh, that's really sweet of you. That would be awesome, because otherwise it's a three-mile walk, an hour-long walk to get home, and I didn't have my umbrella with me. So that'd be great. So she picks me up. I get home, and shortly after I get home, my Google Fit app updates and says that I've taken 17,000 steps that day. I didn't walk to work, and I didn't walk back from work, and I'm pretty sure I didn't walk 17,000 steps while I was at work. So I'm wondering if perhaps it accidentally kind of figured that slow car ride was actually me walking back because the traffic was so bad and rain was so bad. Long story short, too late, I would love to figure out an activity or fitness tracker that is more accurate. It doesn't rely as heavily on GPS. Maybe it relies more on accelerometer type stuff. But I have not researched that in years. So do you have any recommendations for good fitness trackers?
I'm terrible with fitness trackers, mostly because I don't use them very much. I used to use a Misfit Shine, and it's one of the dumbest things you can use because it's essentially a pedometer. So it probably wouldn't track you driving in a car that slowly. At least I wouldn't think so. I'm trying to think, maybe the Jawbone app itself that runs on Android and iOS might be better at taking the data, because Google Fit as an app isn't exactly that great. As far as I know, I've heard reviews about it saying it's just not very full featured, and it's just not, it's actually kind of badly designed, which is kind of unfortunate because it does have the steps you take. But fitness trackers, I just can't get into that stuff. I'm a chain calendar guy. So basically, as long as I work out on a day and I have a little, okay, it's been 8 days in a row. Cool. Don't break that chain. Keep going. That'll be enough motivation. And I don't need necessarily, at least I don't usually use metrics for myself. I have a scale. That's Liz got the scale. It was like a review unit, so we still have it. It's like, here, take the scale. So we got the scale. And like, it's connected. And so I see my weight, and that's basically the only number I'll look at, really. But that's more like, even though it fluctuates a lot, it's like, oh, you've gained 15 pounds today. I'm like, I don't think you're accurate today, because I'm pretty sure I didn't gain 15 pounds in one day. I don't care what you think I did yesterday. I did not do 15 pounds of addition and then lose eight the next, whatever. So
I should have eaten that brick of gold.
Yeah, I shouldn't have. But it just looked so delectable, and I was hoping there was chocolate inside. But I just basically go with on how clothes fit and how I look on video. That's basically my metric on that. So I have really bad with fitness trackers. I know Liz has – she uses her Apple Watch during the day. She used to use a Fitbit Charge – not Charge. What's the Flex, I think it is, the one with the little Flex, tiny screen. Mm-hmm. I think that's the one with the tiny screen. I forget what
the – I think the Flex is actually the one that just has the lights.
Okay, so there's one – there was the Charge, and then there was the Charge –
There's the Charge
sliver.
HR, and there's also the Charge 2 now. The Charge 2 is the one that I've seen that has the best reviews, and the only reason I've thought about doing it is that because I'm – my main strategy – we're getting into actual fitness stuff. My main strategy right now is really just caloric reduction, right? I'm just trying to keep my calories under – right now I'm trying to keep them right around 1570 a day, because I'm trying to lose like a pound and a half a week. If I was trying to lose a pound a week, it'd be more like 1630, 1640, something like that. And so I'm just, I've been doing that and keeping track of my meals. But it also helps if you keep track of how much walking you do, because then, some days you might be able to eat a little extra, which is nice once in a while. But that's the only reason I really want it. I was thinking about going by, there's a gym at the office building I work at that I have not checked out yet, and I thought I would check it out today, except for the fact that then my dog got sick, so I completely forgot about the gym stuff, and I was like, I just got to get home. But hopefully I can check that out soon and start adding some workouts too, because I wanna get a little more fit. Specifically, I want to be able to work on cardio a little bit better, and that way when I do these ridiculous sword fights at the Renaissance Festival, I'm not sucking wind for the next 25 minutes. There's nothing like watching a street character bent over, just going for like.
Well, I mean, does that become part of your character, or is that something that is breaking character?
I mean, I could be, if I had chosen the right character, I probably would be fine. Like if I had decided my character was actually the town bellows, that'd be great. I could just be like, yeah, we couldn't afford a bellows, so they hired me, and I just breathe real hard under fire, right? But instead I'm playing the Lord Admiral, and that's – maybe I could say that I'm trying to fill the sails with wind? I don't know.
I don't know. I don't have a lot of experience coming up with characters that are sucking wind. I'm usually not doing too great when it comes to my cardio. As long as I can chase my kid and he's tired before I am, I'm happy with that. So for right now, he's 6.5. He's still got a lot of energy, but like we've been kind of trapped because the weather's really cold. Can't chase him around really in parks because it's just too damn cold out. Although today's bizarrely warm. It was like it's going to be – or it was 61 degrees today. And tomorrow we're going to get like a foot of snow.
Right. I was about to say, I saw that our friend Derek posted that it was like a spring day today, and I was like, "What? Aren't you supposed to get like between 8 and 12 inches of snow tomorrow?" And he's like, "Yeah, they've already canceled schools.
There's no such thing as any kind of climate change or anything like that, because it's February, and we have a 30-degree swing in the course of a day. Let alone, by the way, the low today was 31 and the high was 61. That shouldn't be okay.
Yeah, that's crazy.
I've lived for a while, and that's not the way it used to be, and that's in my own lifetime, which is pretty weird. So not a big fan of this. I did like going outside today. It was kind of like, okay, this is a nice thing, but then finding out, oh, by the way, tomorrow it's going to be just snowfall, and it's going to be significant after a 61-degree day. Like, that's just wow. Not right at all.
That's pretty crazy. I mean, I can't. We definitely have had some pretty wild swings in temperature here in Georgia, but we haven't had any real winter weather to speak of. Like, there was when we were in Vegas for CES, there were all these reports that there was a snowstorm heading toward Atlanta, and it turned out to be nothing. Like, the city of Atlanta really got no snow at all. I know we didn't get any snow in my neighborhood. So, because I was really worried for a while that I was going to get stranded in Vegas for an extra night. And that ended up being something I didn't even need to worry about. So, fortunately. But, we get those crazy swings here in Georgia. They tend to go about 10 degrees warmer than you guys, though. So,
let me ask a total different topic. So, over the past month or so, I've been taking a couple of courses online. These are just free courses available on Coursera, and some of them are from Stanford. This is about nutrition, because I've been looking that stuff up, because not only am I about this fitness thing these days, but I'm trying to make sure my kid eats healthy as well, so I'm learning a bit about that. Do you have any experience about or on these online learning places? They're not just like, I guess they're MOOCs, right? They're these massive online classes. I forget what the other O stands for. But
right.
Do you have, like, Udemy, there's Coursera, there's edX. Do you know anything, the difference between them, what's the best, what's not the best?
I did some research into them, but that was like 8 years ago. So it's changed enough since then that I can't really say one way or the other. I haven't looked into it since that time. I used to look over the courses that were available from MIT. MIT would put up entire lecture series online, and I would go and watch those because they would give really interesting, in-depth information on tough topics, like things like, you know, advanced physics and quantum physics and that kind of thing, and computer science and that sort of stuff. And I watched several of those, never took any of the courses. I was just looking at the lecture series. I wouldn't know. I mean, the only one I keep hearing about now is the Great Courses series, because so many podcasts advertise it. But I haven't taken any of those.
Yeah, I took a couple from Stanford on Coursera. They had some good material. The production quality was good. I got a note here. It was a charge HR, by the way. Liz does have a charge HR, so if you're checking that, she did like that. But the Stanford courses were good, but there was only two of them. And the child nutrition course was great, way more useful than the other course, which is like, it was called like Introduction to Food. And it's amazing how little I understand about food. Because you think, you know, you hit a certain age, you're like, I know what this stuff is. No idea. I had no idea what I was eating, no idea what was going on. And now I'm just like in the supermarket, just looking at ingredient lists and like, oh, that shouldn't be. That's going to kill me. That's going to kill me. That's going to kill me. Great. So
well,
it's not,
you're going to die anyway, Is.
That's true. But I can choose whether I'm going to eat stuff that's going to give me giant, massive plaques in my arteries and such. You know, I can.
Yes.
That's the only control I can have there of like,
Well, it's so like, this. You know, I've been using my Fitness Pal, like I said, to track my meals. And one of the things it does is it helps track your nutrients as well. Like what nutrients are you getting? What are you falling behind on? That kind of thing. And the thing that's most frustrating to me is trying to hit the right level of protein in regards to the balance between protein, carbohydrates, and fat, and yet still stay under my caloric level. It is something that I have not yet cracked the code on. Like, when it happens, I'm so amazed that, like, hey, you hit your protein goal. I'm like, yay! Because, you know, also I don't eat mammals, right? So I don't eat beef or pork, but I do eat chicken and I eat fish. But I just, I'll get to the end of the day and it still won't, that little setting won't trip. And it's really a little disheartening, I guess. It's not terrible. I mean, I'm still under the calories that I've set for myself, but and I am slowly losing weight. One of the reasons I was asking about the fitness tracker is because it made me feel sad when I checked my fitness app last night, and it said if every day were like today, because again, it thought I had taken 17,000 steps. It thought I burned 900 calories through exercise. Mm-hmm. 900 calories through exercise. I'm like, there's no way I did that. It said, if every day were like today, you would hit your ideal weight in 5 weeks. And I'm like, fuck you. I know that's not true. I'm 20 pounds away from my ideal weight. So.
Well, you could try to go 17,000 steps a day and burn 900 calories, but then you also have to eat a lot of food because your body will go into starvation mode and you won't lose any of the weight.
Yeah.
It's not a great idea. So that's the other balance. If you up the exercise, you got to up the food, and then you got all that to figure out.
Exactly. Yeah. I'm trying really hard. Like I said, I've read over and over how exercise is really more important as a weight maintenance rather than a weight loss plan. Like it's not, you should exercise obviously to keep in good health, but not that you should not expect to have great gains in weight loss through exercise as much as you should through the nutritional route. Like that's the way to make sure you lose weight more effectively. And then exercising is great for maintaining and also for, for just general health. So I've been focusing mostly on the caloric stuff, but since I do walk, mostly I walk from work. Becca's usually giving me a ride to work these mornings. So I haven't had to walk there, but I've walked back pretty much every day that I'm over there. So that's an hour walk. I'm not walking, like I'm not power walking or anything. So just a nice, a decent stroll, not like I'm meandering, but I'm not booking it either. So
dear listener, if you're listening to this or a viewer and you're like, hey, this episode's bizarrely substantive. They're talking about pets. They're talking about Eric's interpretive dances. They're talking about fitness trackers, courses. Next time, that's not going to happen. Guaranteed.
No.
Because we were supposed to talk about a movie, which is my fault, that I haven't actually, I chose it, and I haven't watched it. Did you actually get to watch the movie?
I have not watched it yet either. I was thinking about my original plan. I was going to watch it yesterday when I got home because on Tuesdays, Becca tends to go out and play trivia with her friends who are all her knitting circle. So the whole bunch of ladies with yarn and needles will go and play pub trivia while they knit various things. And so I thought, I can just watch the movie on Tuesday because I'll have the house to myself. And then I forgot to do it. And then I thought, okay, well, I'll watch it on Wednesday night before we have the podcast. I'll just get home and I'll put on some earbuds and I'll put it on the computer so that Becca can watch whatever she wants. And I might even just say that my time is 0 seconds because there'll be other things going on inside the same room that I'm in. But then Tybalt got sick. So I have not watched it yet either. I did see that based on the description from Netflix, I think it's supposed to be a comedy, like some sort of spoof that's a satire about office alpha dog politics or something, but I have not watched it yet. So
and the movie we're talking about is Welcome to the Jungle, starring Jean-Claude Van Damme, that I picked a couple weeks ago. I will watch it. I haven't seen it. I have a lot less exciting excuses why I didn't bother. I was like tearing apart cardboard. I was grocery shopping. I was watching other stuff.
You were attending to life and enjoying what little spare time you actually have.
Yeah, if I had one of those like AR glasses and I could watch the movie while I'm grocery shopping, although technically that'd be a 0-0 thing. It's more like I want to be able to take notes because that's actually what keeps me amused with these movies. Otherwise, I'm just watching a shitty movie. And that's not as fun.
When you're taking notes, you're actually paying way more attention too, which is kind of the whole point of our experiment. For those who do not know, if you tuned in for the first time ever and you're like, what the hell is this two-person podcast where they're talking about a third person who's not there? Usually the three of us will watch a really bad movie. Usually it's a bad movie. And just see how long we can pay full attention to that movie before we give up and invite distractions into the experience. And it's really kind of a commentary on how we often will watch entertainment with a second screen next to us, which means we are not really absorbing what's going on. We're distracted. We're dividing our attention. And here's the funny thing is that even though we have this rule that says once you stop watching without distractions, you write down your time, and then you can continue to watch, or you can just give up if you want to. Most of the time, we not only continue to watch, we pay even more attention and take notes.
Yeah, and those notes are available, by the way. This is not a joke. You know, a lot of this stuff is pwpshow.wordpress.com. I think we have a link to it from gfqnetwork.com for the actual show notes. Jonathan's notes are – actually, your notes aren't up from last week. Mine need to go up too.
I need to send you those.
Yeah, so we take these crazy notes and we post them because if for some reason you want to read them, you can read them raw. Like, I don't edit my notes, and they have typos, and I have nicknames for people because these movies are very bad at establishing – a lot of these movies are bad at establishing who is this person, and you're coming up with a name.
And it's crazy because Ayaz watches these often with captions, which means he has way more opportunities to catch on to what a character's name is than most of us because often the sound is so bad in these movies that if they do happen to say the character names, you're not likely to actually catch what the hell they are.
Or the acting is bad enough, you're not sure if that's the name of the person or are they talking to themselves like, damn it, Barbara. So wait,
it's kind of
is she Barbara?
Like the bit in Star Wars: A New Hope, where Mark Hamill turns and sees Carrie Fisher after he's landed the X-wing after the Death Star run, and it sounds like he yells out Carrie. It's like that for all these movies where you're not really sure if they're saying an actor's name, a character's name, if they're just yelling out a random noun. I haven't watched anything like that recently. I did almost start a couple of really bad movies, and then I keep stopping myself just in case I want to choose it for the next podcast without pretense. I got to make sure that next time I pick something that's not as reprehensible as that Blood Valley movie, which was so terrible.
Well, Seed's Revenge?
Yeah.
That was pretty bad, now that I think about it. I forgot about that. I blocked it out of my mind until the opening scene. Don't watch the movie, guys. Listen to the podcast instead, because this isn't like one of those shameless self-promotion kind of things. This is like if you have any interest in this movie, like if you look at the trailer and you're like, hey, should I watch it? Listen to our review of it, because it's actually very useful and helpful. That's another thing. Like, I think
The very first scene in that movie is more than enough reason to never watch that movie, and we get into that right at the top of the show.
Anyway, so you can listen to that episode. I think because of that hour and a half episode that we had, which was monstrously large, I think we have to look into the future now. Okay,
agreed.
So next time on Podcast Without Pretense.
Eric, that's another excellent point. You are on a roll tonight.
So, Eric, you're telling me that if you interpret this movie with the view of a Freudian, that Van Damme doesn't exist?